Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
Your Network of Praise. I'm Carlene Prince, and so glad you could join us for today's conversation. I have to start off by saying I have a huge smile on my face today because I get to cross off an item from my own bucket list. For a long time, I have wanted to talk to one of the Kendrick brothers who are known so well for their wonderful films that many of you in our listening audience will be familiar with. Films like Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, War Room, and their latest epic film, Overcomer. And today, it seems like my wish is going to be granted. It's my honor to welcome to Your Network of Praise for the first time, Stephen Kendrick, who is the producer of that latest film I mentioned that hit the big screen, Overcomer. Stephen, welcome, and thank you for joining us this morning.
I am honored to be on the program with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, this is a sweet, sweet joy to get to talk to you. We've been able to talk to Sherry Rigby a couple of times here. She's become a friend of our network, and also to me personally. I just love that woman and love the job that all of you guys did in this film. It just seemed to have such a robust response. Can you give us some of the facts as far as either box office numbers and stories that you heard of people's lives that were helped and changed by this movie?
Absolutely. We were praying for God to allow it to be opened in 1,700 theaters. It opened in 1,723.
Wow.
And in 24 countries around the world, we asked God for an A-plus cinema score, and it received that after opening weekend. And what we didn't expect was a 98% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is higher than their top 10 greatest movies of all time.
And so I was
like, this is unbelievable. And so but most importantly, for lives to be changed, you know, to hear of over 50 people making decisions for Christ after one screening in Tennessee, you know, testimonies pouring in of people not committing suicide after seeing the film, or people, prodigals deciding to get back with God, people dealing with depression issues after seeing the movie. And this is an entertaining movie. I mean, you're laughing 1 minute. You're wiping a tear the next. We were hearing of people singing in the theater along with the songs. And then the ending of the film is a edge of your seat, nail biter, cross country state championship run. And so it's fun watching people standing up and cheering on Hannah in this race as if it's their own daughter. So we're grateful for the entertainment value, but most importantly, for any lives that have been changed by the Lord.
Oh, I so agree with all of that. And you mentioned one of the key characters in the film, Hannah. And first of all, I want to thank you and your brother so much. Having a film that is centralized around a young woman's struggle to find out who she is in Christ. And that encouraged women of all ages and, of course, both genders across the spectrum. How do you think young people have connected to that character as you've heard stories and reports from the film?
Well, we tried to make her someone that anyone can relate to. And in the film, she's battling who she is. You know, she's lost her parents, and she's a lonely teenager dealing with her own insecurities and fears and struggles. And for the Lord to be able to step into a teenager's life and invite them into an intimate walk with Him is greater than anything else. You know, it was my 10th grade year when I really fully surrendered my life to Christ, and I've never looked back. I've been so grateful for what God did in my heart, and to get off the fence and quit playing games with Him and get more serious about trying to walk with Him and obey Him. And you see Hannah, her life completely change in Overcomer because of the identity that Christ gives her. Ephesians 1 and 2 talks about that the change that Jesus makes, and that when we place our faith in Him, this whole package deal happens. You know, God adopts us into His family. We're forgiven of all of our sins. We receive the Holy Spirit, an inheritance in heaven, and we're called to serve Him with our lives. And so there is nothing greater than knowing the Lord, and then nothing greater to do with our lives than to serve Him with our lives. And so I'm grateful that Overcomer it presents that message to a teenager and then also a coach, you know, who is a believer, but he's wrestling with his own identity as well.
Yeah, I was so thankful that the film addressed those topics as well. Coming to my mind is a quote from comedian and speaker Ken Davis. He talked once about how so many of us as adults, he said, I've never met an adult that when you didn't really get to know them, there was just a pimply-faced teenager inside of a wrinkled package, because so many of us struggle with insecurities and trying to figure out who we are. And to see two people at different parts of the age spectrum in this film and in the characters that they play come to a resting place of being solidified in their faith was just so amazing to see. And I just can't begin to imagine the stories that and the feedback that you guys have heard back on that topic.
Well, and I am so grateful to hear of, you know, people. We had one lady, she said, I took my coworker to see the film. She couldn't speak after having seen Overcomer. We went out to the car. She just broke down and wept and said, I've been struggling with depression, don't know who I am or why I'm here on this earth. I've been contemplating suicide, and now I've seen this movie. And she said, I know that there's a God out there that I need to have a relationship with. And so she said, please take me to your church, help me to start reading the Bible, and help me to have this relationship with the Lord. And so it is our prayer and hope that people will have an encounter with the Lord when they watch the film, and that whether they're in a church watching it at a church event or screening, or they're sitting on an airplane or watching it on their cell phone, that the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts about inviting them into an intimate, closer walk with God, but not only discovering who God is, but who they can be within a relationship with Him. And He really does.
Yes. Yes.
Changes completely. The old becomes new, you know, in Christ. And so, and there's nothing greater than what He changes us into in Christ.
Oh, so well said. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, I need to interrupt myself and say that the whole reason we're talking to you today is we want to announce the exciting news that this latest film, Overcomer, is going to be available in digital formats on November 26th, coming up here very soon. And it's also coming out on DVD and Blu-ray in time for Christmas, about the week before Christmas, December 17th, it will be released. Stephen, discipleship and mentoring are another important theme that is woven through this story. Why did you feel that was important to address?
I think the way we are to live our lives is that we should be always surrounding ourselves with wiser people who are further down the road than we are, and learning from them, crossing the bridges they have built, avoiding the pitfalls that they have stepped in, you know, and at the same time that we're sharing in love the truths that God has taught us to the next generation. You see Jesus modeling that with His discipleship. You see Elijah and Elisha. You see Moses and Joshua. You see Paul and Timothy. And in Overcomer, you see a principal played by Priscilla Shire investing in a young girl. You see a coach investing in his kids and in the girl as well that he's coaching. You see a man in a hospital bed mentoring a coach and teaching him what God has taught him about identity. So we try to model that in our films, that mentorship message, and I hope people will feel inspired when they see what that looks like to ask God to send them a mentor, and then also ask God to show them who they can reach out to and pour into as well.
Yeah, I think that second part is so key, and I remember this is actually something that I asked Sherry when we interviewed her before the film hit the big screen, is that I think so many people get stuck on the mentoring piece because they have a piece in their heart that grieves because nobody did that for them or with them. And so I think the enemy, unfortunately, takes that mileage too far in our minds, saying, well, who are you? You're not qualified because nobody showed you how to do it. And so we somehow feel less able. But the point is this is the work of Jesus in our lives. And if you just, if nothing else, you just speak of your story. Talk about, as you said, that new creation piece. I used to be this, but today I am no longer that. I am this instead. And then just use that as a launching pad for further conversations. Can you talk into that for somebody who maybe feels disqualified from this?
Absolutely. Some of the best dads that I know are men who grew up without a dad or without a good example as a dad. And they encounter the Lord and begin to walk with Him and read His Word. And they were discovering, like being on a treasure hunt, these new truths about, oh, this is what a dad's role is. And this is what what a dad is supposed to be for his children. I'm seeing it in God's word because my dad never modeled it. They appreciate it more oftentimes, mm-hmm. and they're more ready to pour into with fire in their eyes, you know, and passion in their heart to the next generation. Our own dad was that way with us because he didn't have that modeled in his own life. And mm-hmm. so even if you did not have someone mentor you, Jesus is your mentor, and his yes. word is the playbook and the script book. And so it's not our job to come up with all the truths to share with the next generation. It's our mm-hmm. job to share with them God's word. And to, you know, Jesus says when you're making disciples, you're teaching them to read and obey what I have commanded you to do. And so it's an open book test in life. You know, it's like, hey, open up God's word, take what he's teaching you with his word and pass it on to the people that are around you. Even if you only have a drop in the bucket, pass on that drop to the next generation. And you being faithful to do that, the Lord will give you more to share with others. Mm-hmm. So I think whoever God has placed in your life, your own children, people, coworkers that you're working with, be praying that God will give you opportunities to share with them. Here's what God is teaching me in his word. And also pray for God to show you the needs in the lives of the people around you, because everybody has a need of the moment.
Oh, yes.
In every conversation, in every season of their life, everyone has a need, regardless of who they are. And if the Lord shows you that need and you can be an instrument to point to what God's word says about that need, you can be mm-hmm. a tool of the Lord to greatly impact their life for God's kingdom.
Boy, couldn't have said it better myself. I've had conversations with friends so many times this past year. This theme keeps coming up, that it is often through relationships that we are hurt, but we seem to want to run away from relationships when that's also where our healing is found. It's where hurt enters our life, but it's also where healing comes in, and the Lord, through the work of his Holy Spirit, can redeem those hurts. So I so applaud and appreciate what you're saying, and I think it's a powerful reminder for all of us. Talking about all of this, Stephen, and also hearing some of the powerful stories that you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, I did want to make a special point of asking you a specific question. And I want to approach this sensitively, but as I've seen and watched you and your brother get so good at your craft of storytelling, and these stories that come out are so compelling, touch so many people, I have, as I'm sure you know and are aware of, I have seen some of the section of the body of Christ tear these films down, not just yours, but other Christian films that are out there, with their words saying that they're formulaic sometimes, or predictable, or whatever adjective they want to use. And it's just, it might not be something that they personally are interested in. But I tell you what, it tears at my heart, because I think it so brings a spirit of disunity to something that is an effort to be kingdom building in its essence. Can I ask how you and your brother handle some of that kind of criticism, and how do we respond in love to some of that stuff? Because I really want people to understand the power and influence of their words.
Sure. Well, I would say if we are serving an audience of one, and we lay in bed at night knowing that we were faithful to what God has called us to do, that ought to be enough for us, regardless of what other people say. It says in John chapter 2 that Jesus did not entrust himself to people because he knew what was in the heart of people. Mm. And so he set himself up for success because he didn't let his identity, his sense of value, the decisions he made be based upon the opinions of fickle people. You know, they're mm-hmm. praising him one minute, they're rejecting him the next. You know, the disciples are worshiping him and in awe of him and then doubting him the next day. And so Jesus let the Father and his relationship with the Father and who the Father said he was be where his identity was grounded. And it helped him to be a rock in a changing world. And so the movie Facing the Giants was a wake-up call for us, because it was the first film where we were open to national, you know, critiques, mm-hmm. and people were very brutal, and they said, you know, here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong. And so we have to filter those things through a lens of humility, mm-hmm. because if someone, even if they hate your guts, if they're being truthful about an area where you need to grow, then like a wise man in Proverbs, we should mm-hmm. listen and learn and grow from that. So we're not afraid anymore of the criticisms. We actually invite people to critique our films and say, here's where you can grow, or here's where you can learn. And we try to take that and improve with each film. At the same time, we don't let our value or identity be wrapped up in the opinions of other people, because they will be brutal. They exaggerate. There are people that hate us and would come after us. And so when it comes to believers, though, if it's interesting, if a person has a calloused, cynical heart, then they will tend to have an attitude of mockery, and they will tend to mock things that are tender or pure or innocent even the gospel, if it's presented in its simplicity,
right.
They struggle with it because they want to please other cynical people that are around them. And so we've noticed that some of those same people, many times years later, after they've been on a journey and God's mm-hmm. broken their pride, or he's humbled them, or they have struggled with some of the issues that are addressed in the films, when they go back and watch the films, it's a different movie.
Yep.
Because, you know, facing the giants before as a teenager, they couldn't relate to infertility, and they didn't care. They thought it was just a stupid storyline. But now that they and their spouse are struggling with infertility and they're broken over it, the movie takes on new value to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
I didn't care what heart surgeons did until I suddenly realized I needed heart surgery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the movies specifically address heart issues at different seasons of people's lives. And if they will be honest before the Lord and vulnerable to him, God can use even imperfect filmmakers who've got a lot of growing and learning to do, and imperfect films with imperfect actors. God can still use that to do a deep work in their lives. And so we have tried to grow in our filmmaking, and we've tried to be stewards of the money and the resources and the opportunities that God has given us. And try to make the best film that we could with what we had.
Yeah.
And at the same time, lay in bed at night trying to be faithful to the Lord, knowing that God can speak through a donkey, you know, and he can do anything he wants to. He can feed masses with a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so we know that he can even use these films to touch people in 80 countries around the world.
Boy, you talk about mentoring discipleship. You just gave me a lot of bread and meat to chew on. I'm so thankful for your response. Thank you for that. And I just want to implore our listening audience, for those that might feel like these kinds of films just aren't their jam, you know, that's okay. But please understand that your words are so powerful and can very much be a part of either building the kingdom up or tearing it down. And, you know, Christ said that the world is watching and that we will be known by our love. And that means love and support for each other. So I just want to encourage our audience in that. Stephen, this has been such a joy to get to talk to you. And I have watched these films over the years. Many of them have touched me very, very deeply. I have actually had the privilege of hearing you and your brother speak in person at National Religious Broadcasters conventions in years past. And I've heard some of the stories of where you were when you began, and to see where the Lord has brought you over these years, both of you, is just a beautiful story within itself. And may we all continue to grow in the depths and riches of God. I love the fact that there is no end to him. I heard a friend recently describe it as turning the diamond. If you have a diamond and you just turn it even slightly, there's going to be a whole different set of colors that come because the light is hitting it in a new way. And I just pray that God continues to do that through your lives. We are excited to announce that Overcomer is coming out again, releasing on digital November 26th, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray December 17th. Stephen, where will these be available for folks to find if they are excited about those dates on the calendar?
Anywhere movies are being distributed. So you'll be able to download digitally on iTunes or Amazon, you know, for the digital release. And you can watch Overcomer with your family over Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And then the release of the DVD will be, you know, Amazon, Walmart, Christian bookstores, Lifeway.com. All of those places will have the DVDs as well. And actually, Provident Films is going to have a bulk package deal where you can get a big discount. You can buy, you know, 10, 20, 30 copies of Overcomer and give them away as gifts.
Oh,
and
great.
And not only you're giving an inspirational, entertaining movie, but you're giving the gospel and God's truth into somebody's life that hopefully will impact their lives forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amen. So I'm going to end with the million-dollar question. What is up the collective storytelling sleeve of the Kendrick brothers? Can you give us a hint as to what's next?
Yes, we actually have 20 different projects we're praying for that I'm looking at on a whiteboard in our in our little war room, and we've got a feature film where we hope to executive produce this next year and to actually build a team and let them produce the film, and we'll be kind of mentoring them in the process.
Oh, wow.
And then we've got some documentary ideas that we're praying through, and then another feature film following that that we're going to be diving into, Lord willing. And so we would ask people, please pray for us.
Yes.
Please use Overcomer for ministry in your cities and your families as well. There's a bunch of fun stuff that's on the Overcomer DVD, behind-the-scenes stuff. There's the bloopers and hilarious making-up videos and things on there, some inspirational stuff as well. But then beyond that, I would say use the film to dive into a study of identity.
Yes.
There's a lot of resources that are about that. And pray for our next movies as we're asking the Lord to guide those decisions. We want to be in the center of His will. We don't want to run ahead of Him or lag behind. So.
Amen. Well, we will be praying for that for you. You probably get to talk to my friend Sherry Rigby a little bit more than I do. So if you do, please tell her Carlene in Montana says hi and sends her love. But we will be praying for you and Alex. And thank you so much for the ways that you are coming into our lives and our homes, really offering something that is contrary to the prevalence of darkness that is available. Thank you for shining the light so brightly. And may God bless you and your continuing work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.